rest of his life. But here he stood because of the same surgery that might have taken his life. He couldn't blame her for giving him back his ability to walk. "It's water under the bridge," Remy said. "I'm here and better than ever." The sisters know that next time they need to discuss all the pertinent information, including the risks. Let's move on to whatever point you're all trying to make, okay? AJ's lips thinned, and the general looked none too pleased Remy was butting in. But hey, someone needed to get the conversation back on track. "Is there any way to get someone other than Remy on the inside to steal the serum we need so our soldiers can breathe in the Sarkin atmosphere?" General Breaker asked bluntly. Well, there went all of Remy's hopes of goodwill and second chances. None of them trusted him to do what needed to be done and not get people killed. He shouldn't have expected anything less. Heck, if it were him, he'd probably be saying the same thing. But it still hurt. He owed it to AJ and Jones and Rambo to not pitch a fit, though. And he wouldn't. He'd do whatever they decided, and try not to show how much their lack of confidence in him really made him feel. He would be the good soldier. He owed Jones that much, at least. Chapter 6. Remy. Jael and Sister Magdalene waited long moments before either spoke. Even then, it was in hushed whispers. It grated on everyone's nerves. But the two of them knew Sarka better than anyone. If there was a way in, they'd find it. Unit 2571 dashed the general's hopes of using the tech, and now his only chance was to trust people who were Sarkans themselves. Yes, they'd helped them flee Sarka, had done everything possible to help since they'd arrived. But Remy could see the suspicion in the general's eyes. Maybe it wasn't even visible to most, but Remy's doubts about Jael were similar, and he recognized the sliver of suspicion. "The security on Sarka is like none other," Sister Magdalene finally spoke. "It is encrypted around DNA. If anyone whose DNA is not in the system sets foot within the castle, alarms will go off, and you'll be swarmed faster than you can blink." Several muttered curses were heard throughout the room. "This negates any of you from going. Jael and I do not know if our DNA sequence has been scrubbed from the system, or Remy's for that matter."
"Remy's?" Breaker looked up, intrigued. "His DNA is in your system?"
"Yes, sir," Jael nodded. "When I started his training, he needed security clearance to gain entry into the Sphere's room. We added it in that morning. I do not know if my brother will remember or not. He is focused on his rage, his only thoughts of taking back that which he thinks belongs to him."
Her eyes cut to Remy.
"He will stop at nothing until the Prophet is back at his side."
"So Remy may be our only choice?" General Breaker asked grimly.
Jael nodded.
"Eon is cunning. If he thinks for a moment either Sister Magdalene or I will try to sneak in, he'll have had our DNA removed. It's what I would do."
General Breaker nodded and looked toward AJ.
"Cole?"
"I don't like it, sir. But I don't think we have a choice. If we don't do this now, we'll lose the element of surprise, and what may be our only window to take the fight to them."
"Will Eon be on the ships that are now battling against Marine Space Corps One?"
General Breaker asked. Jael shook her head.
"Eon never leaves the palace until the victory is secured. He lets his second-in-command, Freon Truel, handle the dirty work, and then swoops in for the glory."
Freon. The name left a sour taste in Remy's mouth. That guy was slimy. He'd always been polite to Remy, but he'd seen the evil behind the mask of civility when it came to the Sarkin commander. He'd watched the smug satisfaction cross Freon's face when Eon cut off AJ's arm. It was something he'd never forget.
"So he'll be there."
A smile slid across AJ's face.
"Where he'll be a sitting duck."
Jael frowned.
"I do not understand."
"It's an expression," Remy explained. "Just means he'll be easy to take out."
"No,"
You are wrong. My brother is anything but easy to take out. He will not have left himself unprotected. Only a third of the Sarkhan force will have gone out with Freyon. Eon is not stupid.
I'm banking on that little fact, AJ said with a grin. We'll take them all out with one fell swoop.
Not all Sarkhans are twisted with my brother's need for power. Some of them are there only because they wish to keep breathing.
AJ's lips thinned out even flatter. Jael, this is war. People are gonna die. People in this room may fall to the casualties, but that doesn't mean we don't hit them hard. The goal is to stop them from invading our home, a place that has offered you and yours safe harbor.
But what of all the innocent people left on Sarkha? She pressed. What of them?
What do you suggest? General Breaker asked.
That you let me take the throne. I will protect my people, whereas my brother only used them for his own nefarious purposes. Let me be the leader they've longed for.
Silence was the only response to her request. Remy's chest tightened, and that hinky feeling in the pit of his stomach came back. Was this what she'd planned all along? Get them to take out her brother so she could claim the throne without her hands getting bloody? It was the perfect tactic in one of his online games, like World of Warcraft. Let your pawns do all the work, and you step in the 24th hour to take over and save the day.
She loves her people, Sister Magdalene said in Jael's defense. We freed the prophet so we could save our people, not annihilate them.
No one's annihilating anyone, the general said.
That is not what the prophet's brother alluded to.
There was steel in Jael's words. The fierce look of protection flaming out her eyes was one not to be discounted. Maybe all this really was about protecting the innocents on Sarkha. This wasn't one of his online fantasy games. This was real life, and he needed to remember there were real people's lives at stake. An alarm went off outside, blaring through the entire compound. Soldiers jumped to their feet and went running. Hank started growling, and the dragons took flight, their wings carrying them out of the tent and into the sky outside.
Wait!
Remy shouted after them, afraid.
What if they got in trouble? What if...
Come on, kid!
Jones slapped his back on the way out of the tent, nearly knocking Remy over in the process.
We got intruders!
Intruders? But... He shook himself and ran after Jones. Everywhere, there was a controlled chaos going on. Soldiers hurried to their assigned positions, but he could see the bulk of the activity was near the cave where the Sarkhans had first appeared.
I thought you said he wouldn't come through the same place,
AJ barked at the general as they hurried toward the cave entrance.
He shouldn't be. It would be a stupid move, and from what everyone has said, it's not something I would have thought he'd do.
When they reached the cave, Marines were crouched, scattered around the entrance, guns drawn. A small device stood at the entrance, kind of like those little robots they had that automatically vacuumed the house. He'd seen them a million times on TV, but couldn't for the life of him remember what they were called.
What is that?
AJ asked Jael. Have you seen one of those before? Jael shook her head. I have not.
The gateway activated, setting off the alarm, and that came through,
one of the Marines near the cave told him.
It stopped when it reached the cave entrance.
You didn't have it locked against entry?
Remy asked. Jeez, these guys should know better. At the sound of Remy's voice, the device activated and lit up. It buzzed, and then a holographic image appeared of the Emperor of Sarkha lounging on his throne. Eon looked as human as any of them, only his green hair gave him away as being a Sarkhan. Though he had been here on Earth, no one would have looked twice at him. It wasn't strange for people to have their hair colored oddly. It was more of a norm these days.
It is good to see you, Prophet.
Remy looked at his brother for guidance. As much as he wanted to mouth off to the sucker, he wouldn't. He was determined to do the right thing. The general stepped forward.
I am General Breaker.
I wasn't speaking to you. The Emperor waved his hand, dismissing him. My message is only for the Prophet.
The general looked fit to be tied, but he moved back and motioned for Remy to come forward. General Breaker was not a man used to being dismissed so easily.
Ah, Remington Cole, You managed something no one else has ever done before.
You escaped.
I told you once, and I'll tell you again, I am not a prophet.
The smug look on the Emperor's face irked him, and he had the urge to reach over and slug him. But that was useless. His fist would just go through the hologram.
You may not wish to accept your role, but you are the prophet, young Remington. With me as your teacher, we are going to do great things together.
Yeah, sorry, not happening. I'm here, and you're there. Not sure how we can do great things with us being galaxies apart.
That is why I decided this message was necessary.
Eon sat up, all his attention on Remy.
I'm here to offer you a way to save your people.
That got his attention.
How?
I don't want them. I only want you. Surrender yourself, and I won't invade.
Remy knew in his bones the man was lying, even if he sounded sincere.
I don't believe you. Right now, your ships are being decimated by my elite guard. They are failing. How many hundreds of lives lost?
Another image appeared of one of the Sarkhan warships firing upon the Alliance ships loyal to Earth. He watched as ship after ship was crippled. His first thought was for Frank Wolf, the man who had taught him a lot, who would not let Remy fall into depression.
This is what is coming for Earth, youngling. If you surrender, I will recall my ships and leave your planet alone. But if you insist on this rebellion against me, I will destroy everything you hold dear. I will give you 1 hour to decide.
1 hour?
His gut twisted.
And Remy?
His head jerked up at the sly smugness in the Emperor's tone.
Just to let you know how serious I am.
The Emperor's image disappeared, and the device made a screeching noise, thousands of tiny holes appearing in the casing around it. He heard the Marines around him screaming to get back, but he couldn't pull his eyes off the device. Instinctively, he knew what was coming. A Trojan horse. Hank dived on him, and they went rolling at the same time the sound of gunfire erupted. Only it wasn't bullets. It was miniature bombs shaped like bullets that exploded whenever they hit. He heard screams, heard shouting, but he closed his eyes, refusing to look. He couldn't bear to see it. Hank stayed over him until long after the screaming stopped, and he was grateful.
Rem!
AJ's troubled voice reached him. You okay, kid? He nodded, breathing hard.
Don't think about it, he told himself. It'll be okay as long as you don't think about it.
Then open your eyes, Remy. He took deep breaths and did as his brother asked. He only looked at AJ, though.
I'm good. Promise.
Did you get hit? Remy shook his head.
Hank rolled me.
Good dog, AJ said, and stroked the metal of the dog's back. They weren't sure if the dog could feel it or not, but had decided to treat him like a regular dog.
Did anyone?
Remy broke off. Unable to finish the sentence.
No, kid. No one died, AJ told him, understanding what he was trying to ask. There were a lot of injuries, but no one died.
He reached a hand down and helped Remy up. When he finally got the nerve to look around, he saw a lot of blood, a lot of soldiers who looked superficially wounded, but just as many being carried away. Some of them were really hurt.
Eon has drawn first blood,
Rambo said, swiping at the nasty gash on her arm. She hadn't walked away clean like they had.
I say we make him bleed dry for it. But I think our plan needs to change,
Remy said, looking to the skies for his eyes.
Come,
he called to them mentally.
Change?
General Breaker asked. The dragons dived down and settled themselves on Remy, and a certainty unlike anything he'd ever known eased his panic.
We need our own Trojan horse.
And what would that be? AJ asked. They'll never let us send something like that through the archway.
No, they won't,
Remy agreed. Then what do you suggest? General Breaker asked, leaning closer. Remy stroked Poseidon and stared the man straight in the eye.
Me.
Chapter 7. AJ. AJ checked his weapon, then checked it again. The M16A4 held in his hands was something familiar to him, in a brand new world full of unfamiliar sights. He shrugged in his tactical armor, rolling his neck around his shoulders. Emperor Eon had struck the Marines again. If they had not been expecting some kind of attack, there might even have been casualties. There wasn't a Marine on the base that didn't feel a rolling hate for the Emperor and everything he stood for. AJ killed the Emperor in his mind over and over again since the Sarkin took his arm from him. It was time to put that action to reality. The sooner he was put down, the better.
"You're clear to dial up, Remy," General Breaker said, as he stood next to Marine Space Corps 2.
AJ and his team, along with Unit 2571, General Breaker, and a handful of Marines, stood at the edge of the base opposite the cave where the sphere rested. AJ watched as Remy closed his eyes and concentrated. It was still strange to see his baby brother decked out in military fatigues, the body armor tight over his chest. This was the same little brother whose room he slept in when Remy was afraid of the Oogie Boogie Man. It was the same brother he helped tie his first tie, the same brother he loved despite himself. Remy extended his right hand out in front of him toward the forested area. A moment later, the air in front of them began to shimmer. Where there had been nothing before, an archway took shape. 2 stories tall, the archway glimmered into existence. Billows of multicolored mist rolled from the archway. It was impossible to see what was on the other side of the gateway to another world. Remy lowered his hand and opened his eyes.
"It's getting easier to open the gateways."
"No, you're just getting stronger," Jael said with an approving nod.
"The difficulty has remained the same."
"Don't take any unneeded risks," General Breaker warned AJ. "You're all the best we have. You get the job done and come back safe."
"Yes, sir," AJ said, a grim look of determination resting on his brow. AJ took the lead, stepping forward into the rolling mist. He didn't think he would ever get used to the idea of stepping through a gateway to be taken to another planet. It was something out of the most extreme science fiction novel. The mist was cool without being cold as it touched the exposed skin of his face. Dextrax was a winter planet. As such, he was dressed like the others in a thick jacket and beanie. The first stop on their road to war was gathering the combined forces of the Pritory and Imperial Coalition. The mechanized soldiers would prove vital in winning the war on Sarka. One moment, AJ's boots traveled across hard-packed dirt. The next, he crunched the snow under each foot. The temperature dropped noticeably. As the fog around him dissipated, AJ was met with a sight that took his breath away. The frozen landscape of the planet Dextrax sprawled out in front of him as far as the eye could see. White-capped mountains to his right and left. In front of him were the combined armies of the 2 factions that lived on the planet. AJ reminded himself these were allies, not enemies. He found himself grateful they were on his side of the fight this time around. The Pritory were white mechanized units standing 8 to 10 feet tall, with the exception of a few units they referred to as battle tanks. The battle tanks rose an additional 5 to 10 feet into the air. The Imperial Coalition were the same kind of mechanized warrior, but black instead of white. Like their counterparts, they were decked out for war. Shields were held tightly in their hands. Massive sword hilts poked up from over their shoulders on their backs. Rocket launchers, laser rifles, hand cannons, and every weapon AJ could name, and some he could not, were all present and available. A flight of smaller airships passed in the sky above. 2 mechanized soldiers, one from each faction, separated themselves from the ranks and approached the group. They made their way toward AJ and the rest of the unit walking out of the gateway. The black mech on AJ's right carried a shield in his left hand so large, if he crouched behind it, it would be able to cover his entire body. The white mech on his left sported a long barrel on her right shoulder, as well as a heavy assault weapon in her oversized hands. "It's good to see you, all of you," the black mech, Alpha Prime said. We have had the foundries working both day and night since you departed in order to prepare for the invasion of Sarka. Both of us have, the white mech, Omega One, said in a female voice. We are ready with the largest force this planet has ever seen.
AJ only had to look out in the ranks of the mech warriors to know that they were telling the truth. Rambo appeared next to him from the gateway and gave a low whistle.
Just when you think you've seen it all, Rambo said under her breath, there has to be thousands of them.
Hundreds of thousands, Jones said, as the rest of the group, including Remy, came through the gateway. There has to be hundreds of thousands of them.
We need more. Everyone turned to look over at Jael. The Sarkin stared back at them, unblinking. An awkward silence passed over the gathered group.
More? Omega One asked in disbelief. We have had our foundries working nonstop for over a month's time. We have both contributed 100,000 warriors to the cause, as well as weapons and aircraft.
The creatures my brother will use against you are not fashioned from steel and metals, but from the very worst depths of your nightmares.
Jael shook her head.
You'll need more soldiers if you are going to take the day.
What creatures are you talking about? AJ asked with a raised eyebrow.
You didn't mention any of this before.
I was afraid you would turn back if I did,
Jael answered. There are fire beasts on my planet called the Dalmaga. My brother keeps them starved in the lava swamps of our planet. He will unleash the very worst of these on you.
Wonderful, Remy said under his breath.
Our foundries still continue to work and supply reinforcements, Alpha Prime answered.
And as soon as we secure the serum to allow our own troops to breathe on the planet, the Marines will be here to turn the tide of war, AJ confirmed.
And next time you have intel we can use, you tell us as soon as you can.
No more waiting.
Jael licked her full lips as if she were going to say more. Instead, she decided against it and simply nodded.
AJ didn't miss the look of fire in her eyes. She was a survivor, and every bit the strong leader her brother was. In fact, she might even be stronger. If she was, in fact, using all this to her advantage to claim the throne, AJ would have to give her the one-up on her brother in the cunning department.
We will not yield, nor our troops surrender in the face of the Sarkin army or the abominations of their fire swamps,
Omega One continued.
We owe the Emperor of Sarka for enslaving us and forcing us to fight one another all these years. We intend to pay him back in blood.
We have a plan.
I trust Unit 2571 has relayed it to you? AJ asked.
Yes, Alpha Prime confirmed. Although, do you think it is prudent to send the boy who goes rogue on a mission of his own? The last time he was here, he stole one of our ships and nearly caused the death of someone he called a friend.
Hey, I'm standing right here, Remy growled. He may not be the best choice to undertake this mission with his track record.
Omega One picked up the conversation as if she didn't hear Remy at all.
Still right here, Remy said, just under a shout.
I don't like it either, but he's the only one who can walk right in there, and we know the Emperor won't harm him. He's too valuable to Eon as the prophet, AJ answered.
Then let us be gone, Alpha Prime answered. My forces are eager to take the fight to Sarka.
AJ turned to look at his little brother one more time. He motioned Remy to the side. The younger Cole followed.
You sure you can open a gateway to Sarka?
You've never done this before. You'll be alone there. Eon will try and manipulate you to control you. He's going to play head games with you.
I can do it, Remy said with a sharp nod. I have to do it. Jael and I already talked about where on Sarka I'll be opening the gateway. There's a mountain range to the north of the city. I'll set up there at the foothill of the mountains.
AJ stood quiet, thinking and then rethinking their plan. There was so much that could go wrong. In battle, there were always things that would go wrong. A great leader was one who would be able to compensate and think on the fly, molding their plan to work. For one of the few times, AJ felt his youth and own experience come into play.
We can do this, Remy said to his older brother. We're almost done with all the madness. We take down Eon, and we can put this all behind us.
I know. AJ placed a hand on his brother's shoulder. It felt so small to him.
I know. Ram, I want you to know that I love you. I know that I haven't been easy on you, well, since this all started. But I love you like a brother.
I am your brother. Remy cracked a smile.
I know. I was starting to get serious and emotional, so I thought I'd throw that in there to lighten up the mood.
AJ smiled back.
I love you too, Remy said, avoiding eye contact.
All right, enough of this, AJ said, removing his hand from his baby brother's shoulder. Create that gateway back to Earth, Mr. Prophet. And then it's on to Sarka.
Chapter 8 AJ AJ took a step back to watch his younger brother go to work. No breeze caressed the planet of Dextrax at the moment. Still, the sheer coldness on his face was enough to numb him. AJ already couldn't feel his nose. Remy was there 1 second and gone the next. There was nothing AJ could do about it now, and he hated that. The feeling of helplessness that wrapped over him, colder than any alien planet, was unshakable.
We'll see him soon, Rambo said, as if she could read AJ's thoughts. We have work to do now. It'll be good to take your mind off things.
Right, AJ said, reaching for the comlink. He pressed 2 fingers to the side of his ear. General Breaker, this is Marine Space Corps 2, come in.
I read you. Go ahead, General Breaker said through the comms.
Remy is through. We're ready to start phase 2 when you are, AJ responded. Jael and Sister Magdalene looked on wide-eyed as phase 2 of the plan unfolded in front of them. They had intentionally been kept in the dark about this. Only AJ, Rambo, Jones, and Remy knew what was going on from their side. The mechs had been told about it in advance.
What is this phase 2? Jael asked, trying to bite back the demand in her voice. What are you talking about? We're supposed to wait for Remy here.
No can do, Jones answered for AJ. Little Cole isn't exactly trustworthy. He needs Big Brother to watch out for him.
AJ ignored Jael for the time being. To be honest, it felt good giving the Sarkin the cold shoulder. AJ knew it was petty, but it still felt right.
We have the warship en route, General Breaker answered. It'll be there in 20 minutes.
Roger that. Out, AJ said, before breaking off communication. Jael glared at him. The look could melt ice. Sister Magdalene seemed more shocked than angry at being kept out of the loop on the new plan.
Well? Jael asked indignantly. I'll let the Praetory and Imperial Coalition know our ride is on the way, Rambo grinned at AJ.
It looks like you have some explaining to do.
Thanks for that, AJ returned Rambo's grin. He cleared his throat before addressing Jael again. Remy's already proven himself as a wild card. I believe he won't go off script this time, but General Breaker and I agreed we just can't take that risk. So we're going to Sarka using the cloaking technology the Imperial Coalition has in their possession. Jael's mouth dropped.
Oh boy, here we go, AJ thought to himself.
I should have been informed. Jael rose up to her full height. I should have been consulted. I can tell you if your plan will work or not. I know Sarka inside and out.
Well, you might find this hard to believe, sister, AJ said, finding himself having more fun with this than he should have. But the United States Marine Corps doesn't answer to you. We follow orders. Jael set her jaw. She ground her teeth so hard, AJ could see the muscle in her jawline tremble with rage.
I think Jael is expressing concern on your tactics.
Sister Magdalene came to Jael's rescue.
We're only concerned for the safety of those involved, and the success of the mission. With what ship are you going to be able to make this trip? Sarka is light years away. Is the craft large enough to carry all the mechanized warriors? Where do you plan to set down this ship, even if you are cloaked and able to enter Sarka's orbit without being detected?
This is probably one of the reasons we didn't tell you, Jones said, raising his eyebrows.
You're on a need-to-know basis. At the time, you didn't need to know.
You don't trust us, Jael said more than asked. After all we've done to help you escape and your brother to walk again, you still don't trust us.
We trust you enough to tell you now, AJ countered. The ship will be here soon. You'll be able to see it all with your own eyes. If you have reservations about our plan, tell us now.
Jael and Sister Magdalene looked at one another for consensus. I didn't know Earth possessed intergalactic warships, Jael said.
I didn't either until a few days ago, AJ said. It seems once we learned the universe is a much larger place, with bullies at every turn, we took it upon ourselves to begin to build our own ships capable of intergalactic travel. The USS Relentless is the first one of our own ships ready for travel. This is its maiden voyage.
And it will be large enough to accommodate all of these giant mechanized soldiers?
Jael asked, using a sweeping hand to take in the rows of robotic soldiers behind them. Not all of them, AJ answered. We'll go in with the heavy landing team under the shield of the ship's cloaking device. We'll be enough until Remy secures the serum and gets back to us. He can then create the gateways we need to move in the rest of the invasion. Jael looked like she wanted to say more when the sound of heavy thrusters met their ears. Shouts from Rambo and the excited chatter of the mechanized soldiers filled the cold air around them. All eyes turned to the sky overhead. The cloud layer was thick, with the sun barely able to burn through. Although they couldn't see the craft right away, they could hear it grow in volume. Finally, like a knife cutting through the cloud layer, the USS Relentless made its debut. The warship looked surprisingly like a regular naval ship one would find in the ocean on Earth. The craft had a narrow bottom and wide upper deck. It was painted gunmetal gray, with a sharp bow and wider stern. That was where similarities to anything AJ had ever seen came to an end. The ship was massive, much larger than any sea ship he had ever seen. There were weapon ports all over the ship. Long-range cannons to smaller turrets were stationed on its sides and upper deck. A thick command tower rose from the top of the ship, almost like a tree of steel. The craft itself was powered by a group of rear thrusters. Two large thrusters were mounted on either side at the bow of the ship. The craft's size was surprising. AJ imagined a series of football fields could very easily fit on top of the ship. AJ found himself in awe, wondering why a ship of this size couldn't carry all the mechanized warriors in one single trip.
Understood, Jones said in his comm unit.
The snow on the ground began to whirl around in violent cyclones of white.
Set down a click to the north. Roger that.
AJ had to remember to close his mouth. There was snow getting into it now. Unit 2571 joined him at his side.
It is truly a marvel of technology, the mech warrior added. We have not been able to achieve something like this. It is not in our programming to be able to create such a thing. Even if it were, our foundries would not be large enough to construct a wonder such as this.
AJ stopped his own gawking long enough to look over at the mech soldier, and then at all the others lined up in front of him. He wasn't the only one to have his breath taken away by such a sight. Every mech soldier's helmet was craned to the north, watching as the craft descended. It was a thing of beauty, not just of his own world, but of theirs as well. The array of thrusters at the stern, as well as the two at the bow, pivoted down to allow the monstrous craft to lower on the planet with ease. It was clear a trained pilot was behind the helm. The ship touched down with a gentle tremble of the planet's surface. The snow being kicked up all around it by the thrusters also came to a calm descent as the thrusters were turned out. The fiery blue flames coming from the engines slowed, then died altogether.
Holy mother of tacos, Jones said under his breath. With a fleet of these? We wouldn't need to go into Sarco with a cloaking device. We could assault the entire planet.
Captain Cole, AJ's comm unit sounded in his ear. This is Ellie Wong of the USS Relentless. I heard you and your team needed a ride.
That's right, AJ said, making his way to the craft.
He threw an arm up and over, signaling those gathered to follow. His boots crunched over the snow-laden landscape of Dextrax.
Ellie Wong,
AJ repeated the name into the comm.
Why do I know that name? Marine Space Corps One, along with a guy named Frank Wolf,
Ellie said. AJ could practically hear her grin over the comm.
I'm going to open the ramps on your side of the Relentless. I'll be there to greet you,
Ellie said.
It should be a short trip to the planet. This thing can really move.
I'll see you soon, AJ said, looking behind to make sure everyone was moving. The columns falling in line behind him were truly impressive. It was easy to forget how large and menacing the mech warriors could really be. Without question, the white mechs of the Praetori and the black mechs of the Imperial Coalition reformed their ranks and joined AJ as he made his way to the Relentless. As promised, a series of colossal cargo bay ramps came down at the base of the warship. Marines filed out, ready to assist loading and directing the mech warriors on where they would be staying. We require neither food, nor drink, nor space, nor comfort, Alpha Prime said, joining AJ. Whatever accommodations you can provide on this ship are fine. We are of one single mind. That is to take the fight to the one who would have enslaved us for an eternity. AJ understood Alpha Prime was only trying to be accommodating. What he left AJ with was a feeling of gratitude, not having to face these mechs on the battlefield. They were cold and unforgiving. Not that AJ blamed them. How many mechs had both sides lost in the war that went on for years? A war only put in place by the Mad Emperor when his plan to create mechanized soldiers failed. AJ turned his walk into a light jog. Alpha Prime was intentionally slowing his gait so as to not leave AJ behind. He imagined all the mechs were doing the same. Here we come, Remy, AJ said to himself. Like it or not, here we come.
Chapter 9 Remy. Even though this was basically his plan, he was nervous. No one wanted to go through with it, not even General Breaker, but they all agreed this was the best solution. There was no guarantee Eon wouldn't just throw him in a jail cell and keep him there until he had a use for him. It all hinged on Remy being able to move around. He was banking on the dragons for that one. Eon knew they needed fresh air to continue growing, and had once offered to allow Remy to visit the parapets with the dragons. He hoped the Emperor had enough goodwill to allow it again.
Are you ready for this?
General Breaker walked up to where he stood standing in front of the cave's entrance. AJ had wanted him to go from Dextrax, but Remy argued to come back here to the cave. If he entered Sarka from any destination besides Earth, Eon would know. Thankfully, the general agreed. Eon was wicked smart, and if anything felt wrong, the whole plan would go down the drain with the dishwasher.
No, but I'll get it done anyway.
Remy squared his shoulders and took a deep breath, calling the dragons to him. Using them had caused a scene, but like he said, Eon would never believe Remy was giving up if he left the dragons behind. Hank, he could get away with not talking. But not the dragons.
You get your story down?
Yes, sir.
God be with you, son.
The general's grip on his shoulder tightened briefly before he moved away. Soldiers stood to the side of the entrance, but if anyone were looking in, it would appear Remy was alone. Remy let the dragons get a good grip on him, and then walked into the cave, where he closed his eyes and gathered his thoughts.
Deep breaths, he told himself. You can do this.
He let himself sink into that place inside his mind where the sphere's ability lay. He found it quickly, thanks to all the work he and Jael had done training his mind. The lines of code burst forth behind his eyes, and he savored it. This made more sense to him than anything else. It was part of him. And as he immersed himself into the glowing yellow codex, he became part of it. It only took him seconds to locate Sarka, but he focused on where he wanted to go. Jael explained to him if he didn't focus, he could end up in one of the lava rivers. He would be going where the ancients would have landed if he went in blind. Instead, he focused on the Emperor's throne room. He visualized it and concentrated on remembering every single detail he could. three other sets of images layered over his own. The dragons. They'd been there that day, and knowing what he was trying to do, they were showing him what they remembered. His sight. That was what Eon called them, and was proving to be true. They remembered far more than he did. Once he was sure he had what he needed, he reached up and touched the planet Sarka, putting every ounce of will he had into going to the right place. The archway appeared, the colors swirling into the mist. The dragon's claws dug into him as he started forward into the mist. He sent them reassuring thoughts. They didn't want to go back to the fire planet and its crazy leader any more than he did, but it was a necessity. Trojan horse and all that. Make something seemingly innocent turn out to be the most deadly instrument in their arsenal. Smash and grab. But things are never really that simple. When he stumbled through the gateway, he fell to his knees, wheezing. Man, that was rough. He'd gone from Dextrax's freezing cold back to Earth, and within minutes he'd gone into the scorching heat of Sarka. He needed a minute. But a minute was not given to him. He found himself surrounded by a small army of Sarkan soldiers, their weapons pointed at him with deadly intent. What do we have here? He'd recognize that smug voice anywhere. When he looked up, the Emperor hadn't even bothered to get up from his throne. He smiled down at Remy from where he sat. You said you'd leave Earth alone if I came. Well, I'm here. He struggled to stand, but none of the soldiers moved to help him. It took several tries, but he managed it. You seem overly tired, youngling. Eon cocked his head, his jewel-like eyes assessing him. I am tired. They've had me training so I could keep up with the rest of them, and Jael's been helping me learn how to harness the sphere's abilities. I'd opened the gateway several times before your little gift. It takes a lot out of me. Eon studied him. They allowed you to come to me? He barked out a laugh. Do you honestly think my brother would ever sign off on this? They all said no and went back to making their own plans. Then why are you here? Because I don't want my home destroyed. I'd rather come here than see my family die. How do I know this isn't some kind of trick? Remy's nostrils flared. All this is happening because of me. No, youngling. We had already prepared to invade your planet. You were just an added bonus. So you're not going to keep your word? Remy asked, his own anger flaring. You said if I surrendered, you'd leave Earth alone. I always keep my word, Eon said, his own eyes hardening. But will you? I may only be 16, but my father taught me your word is your bond. You can tell a man's merit by how he keeps his word. I came here on my own. They don't even know I'm gone. Well, they probably do now, but that's not the point. No, I suppose it isn't. Eon stood and walked to where Remy waited, his guards parting as he came. Kneel? What? A guard shoved him on his knees, and Zeus belched a string of fire in the guard's face. It wasn't a tiny stream. The dragon had grown exponentially, and so had his flame. It engulfed the Sarkin's head, and he fell to the floor screaming. I see your protector has emerged. Eon smiled at the words and ordered the soldier removed. They have grown quite a bit. Zeus's tail wrapped around Remy's throat, and the dragon hissed at Eon. Easy, little beast. I am not going to harm him. Eon held up his hands in a placating manner, but Remy saw the deception behind his eyes right before he turned his attention back to Remy. You must swear loyalty to me, Remington Alexander Cole. Only then will Sarka accept you. Fine, I swear loyalty to you. Whatever, he didn't mean it anyway. Eon smiled, and a woman dressed in the robes of the Sisters of Eon came forward. She held a device in her hand, very much like a cuff worn around an ankle during house arrest.
Forgive me if I don't take your word for it, youngling.
Yon took the cuff and snapped it around Remy's wrist. A humming noise emitted from the cuff, and then fire scorched the skin beneath it. All three dragons reared back in pain, scrambling to hold on to Remy. He reached out and caught Poseidon as he fell.
What is this? He snarled through his pain. I came here in good faith. That may be true, Prophet, or it may not be true. I always hedge my bets. This will give us your location wherever you are in the castle. If you attempt to remove it, it will detonate. Even if you would be careless enough with your own life, I doubt you'd endanger your dragons.
Remy wanted to wipe the smug smile right off Eon's face. He wanted to throw down right here and now. But with all these weapons pointed at him, that was a no-go. And there was Eon's arm. It was just like AJ's, so Remy knew it was deadly. None of them had thought Eon would pull this kind of crap. They should have, though. Eon was smart. Smarter than anyone he'd ever met. Didn't mean he couldn't be outsmarted, though. Remy would have to find a workaround on this bracelet in the 3 days that had been allowed. He had 3 days to find the serum he needed and get out. That was going to be trickier now, but he wasn't going to give up. He promised AJ and the others he would get this done. And he would.
Does this mean you're not going to lock me up?
Eon smiled.
I never wanted to lock you up, youngling. I just wanted your loyalty. As I told you before, you and I are going to do great things together. We will rule the known universe, and no one will ever take down the Sarkhan Empire.
He sounded crazy, especially with the insane glint in his eyes. The Sarkhans all around them began to stomp their feet in a certain cadence. It wasn't random. He picked up on it quickly. It was like the ancient battle cries of old, only done through the stomping of feet. Over and over, they continued until it became almost deafening. Eon reached a hand down to him, and Remy bit back the bile rising in his throat. He had to do this. Reaching up, he grasped the Emperor's hand the way his father had taught him. A good grip meant he had strong character. He'd do this if it killed him. Eon pulled him to his feet.
Come, youngling, let me show you to your quarters and find you something to wear that befits your status.
I'm being given a room? He was surprised at that. He fully expected to be put under lock and key. The Emperor started walking, and Remy ran to keep up as they swept out of the throne room.
You are the Prophet, the gatekeeper of old. I want you to be comfortable here. Your rooms have been prepared since the day you arrived. I would have given them to you had you and your protectors not run from us.
I am not the enemy, Remy. I am the key to the future. I will put all of our worlds together under one empire.
We'll show the universe what true peace is.
The man believed every word out of his own mouth, which in turn confirmed just how crazy he really was.
Now, since you did try to escape before, some of your movements will be curtailed out of necessity, and there will be guards outside of your door as well as with you at all times.
Isn't that what this is for? Remy held up his hand with the black cuff. The burning had stopped, at least.
Always have a plan B and C in place, even when plan A looks like it's a sure win.
So the guards are plan B? Remy asked. Eon nodded as they took a flight of stairs.
Then what's plan C?
Eon smiled slyly.
Never reveal your plan C. It's what will save you in the end.
Am I still allowed to take the dragons up to the parapets so they can get some exercise? They need the fresh air to thrive.
Of course. I want them healthy and happy. Keeping them trapped indoors will stunt their growth.
Eon stopped in front of a set of massive double doors that ran from floor to ceiling, a good 8 feet. He opened them to reveal a sitting room beyond, the furnishing lavish. Pops of color were everywhere, and the ceilings were at least 20 feet high inside.
Wow. As I said, the dragons are a priority. Even in here, they can soar if they want to. Their every comfort has been seen to, as has yours.
The Emperor swept the room with his hand. If there is anything else you require, just ask one of the guards. I will leave you to rest now, Remington. You look exhausted, and in the morning we'll talk more. I'll have the kitchens bring you something to eat. The Emperor left him standing there in the middle of the massive room, and Remy looked around. Well, he hadn't been locked up, but with the cuff and the guards outside his room, he might as well have been. He was exhausted. The Emperor wasn't going to do anything tonight, and he'd need all his wits about him tomorrow. The only thing left to do tonight was get some rest. Tomorrow would be soon enough to start his plan. Chapter 10 Remy groaned when he felt talons digging into his hair and pulling. He hadn't slept this well in months, and they were trying to drag him out of bed. 5 more minutes, guys, he grumbled into the pillow. That smelled faintly of oranges. It was a very loud warble that went right through his left ear. Hades, only Hades dared to shout in his ears, I'll take you guys outside in 5 more minutes. Something heavy pounced his chest, and he let out a loud oomph. Guys, he rolled over and sat up. Can you give me... He broke off when he was reminded of the massive bedroom he was in. He was in enemy territory with a plan. A plan that might be useless now, thanks to the cuff on his wrist that would explode if he tried to get it off. Shaking his head, he got up, took care of his bathroom needs along with a quick shower, and then went in search of clean clothes. He found an entire wardrobe waiting for him, none of which looked appealing. The Emperor was trying to dress Remy like himself. Remy dug around through the closet and through the dresser drawers until he came up with a pair of dark linen pants that weren't too elaborate, and a white shirt that was a little too large, but it wasn't hot, so there was that. Sarka was hot. Even with whatever air ventilation they had set up here, it couldn't detract from the heat. It felt like it was 90, even in the palace. Outside was worse, but that was where he was headed next. The dragons needed to get out and stretch their wings, and from the parapets, Remy could see the mountain range Jael had determined would be the best place to sneak in the humans. Remy would open an archway in the middle of the castle itself for the mech soldiers to come in. How he was going to do that was something he had yet to figure out. Once he dressed, he walked back out into the main room and saw that someone had come in earlier and set up breakfast on the small table by the window. A large bowl of raw meat sat chilling in a bed of ice. They'd thought of everything. The food didn't look like anything he was used to, but it was flavorful. And at least the juice didn't taste bad. It might be blue, but it wasn't bad. The dragons ate right alongside him. He'd take a bite and feed the beasties a bite. It went on like this until they were all stuffed. You guys ready to go outside and burn off some energy? The squawking that ensued made Remy laugh. He gathered them up and then opened the door. 2 Sarkan guards waited there. Can one of you show me how to get to the parapets? The dragons need some exercise. One of them started walking, and Remy hurried to follow him, assuming he would lead him to the roof. It took a bit, but when they finally reached the top of the castle, the dragons wasted no time. They hit the skyline with the fervor of a kid tearing into his birthday presents. Even the guard chuckled at their antics as they fought to be the first to the clouds. Remy thanked the guard, which took him by surprise. I'm Remy. He stuck his hand out, and the guard stared at him like he didn't know what to do. Look, I know it's your job to watch me, but that doesn't mean we can't be friendly. Yeah? Vlaymar, the guard said, and shook Remy's hand. Nice to meet you, Vlaymar. I'm going to go right over there and wait for them to tire themselves out, okay? The guard nodded, and Remy wandered over to the short stone wall. Below was a lake of lava that encircled the castle. It ran a good 50 feet wide. No one could jump and hope to miss it. He'd be burned alive in seconds. The mountain range Jael had told about stood to the northeast of the castle. Even from this height, it was barely visible. A sparse forest stood between him and the mountains, along with a labyrinth of fire. Rivers, streams, lakes, whatever, ran through the length of the land, making a maze out of the area between here and the range. Remy was going to have to navigate that once he had the serum. He swept his gaze over it, letting his eyes take in everything. The human eye saw more than what it relayed. The brain made sense of it later, and you would remember details that weren't first accessible because your brain hadn't processed it. He knew he'd be able to draw every line of this maze in his room and find the correct path. Just one more thing you'd have to navigate. And all those rivers of lava? They held monsters. Monsters Jael hadn't told them about. Neither had Sister Magdalen, for that matter. AJ had been furious, but Remy could understand. She'd been afraid they'd not come and rescue her people. People who like to enslave whole races. She begged them to remember not all Sarkans were evil aliens. Not all humans were kind-hearted souls, either. Humanity had its own fair share of evil, but most of that evil remained locked down to individuals with no power. There were a few who did come to power, like Hitler. Remy had to remember not all Germans were bad, only the Nazis. So he supposed it would stand to reason not all Sarkans were bad, too. Hard to swallow, though. Aside from the Sisters of Eon, he hadn't met a Sarkan who didn't like inflicting pain. Well, maybe except for his guard. That remained to be seen. Good morning, youngling. Remy jumped when Eon spoke right behind him. He'd been so caught up in his thoughts, he'd failed to hear him approach. Morning, Remy mumbled. The beasts are enjoying their outing, I see. Remy looked up to see the three brothers dive-bombing each other and having more fun than they'd had in a long time. Here, there was no worry about some random person seeing them on the horizon. They could roam free as a bird on Sarka. How is my sister? Another question that startled Remy. Jael? She is a traitor, but she's still my sister. I wish to know about her well-being. Eon's eyes gave away nothing, nor did the bland expression he wore. Why was he asking? She's fine. Been helping our doctors with some of your tech. Doctors? Eon cocked his head, searching for the meaning. Healers, Remy clarified. Eon snorted. She's been a tremendous help, Remy defended her. She is no more a healer than I am. Eon leaned against the wall. She is working an angle. What do you mean? There's a reason I relegated Jael to the sisters. She has her eye on my throne. I should have choked the life out of her the last time she tried to overthrow me, but I let sentiment sway me. She is my flesh and blood, after all. She tried to overthrow you? Eon laughed. It was brilliant. Perhaps that is why I allowed her to live. Jael was our father's favorite. She used that to sway a good portion of the army to her side, and when she was ready, I didn't see it coming. She failed, of course, but the way she manipulated me and everyone else speaks to her intelligence. Now she's using you and your brethren to attempt another coup. She even got the slaves on her side. They're calling her a savior. You can believe that. Jael had gotten one over on her brother? He found that hard to believe. But then again, he'd been suspicious of her motives from the moment he'd seen that spark of madness in her eyes. The same one her brother wore like a suit of armor. And she had broached the subject of her taking over the throne. Better to deal with the devil you know and all that. She's not to be trusted. I hope you know that. I do, Remy answered honestly. Good, Eon nodded. Were your quarters suitable? Are you really going to go through small talk? Remy countered. A sly smile slid across Eon's face. I liked you from the moment we met, Remington. You cut right to the chase. The truth is, I'd rather be your friend than your captor. You're going to do great things, so it's my hope you'll allow me to show you I am not a bad person. I can do decent things. You enslave people and allow your soldiers to beat on them. How is that decent?